Ah, thank you, Lord. Well, we are on a series called More Than Conquering. And my temptation is to review so much that we never actually move forward. So I'm really going to try to just blast out of the gate tonight. But I do want to do a little bit of review. More than conquering. Now, last week we talked about not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, I've heard those verses all my life, but I really hadn't ever heard anything like how the Lord is starting to break it down for us so we can see exactly how that happens. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Tonight, we're going to talk about hearing God 101. Or basically being able to hear the voice of God. One of the greatest complaints I had as a young Christian, 18, 19 years old, I'd been a Christian since I was 2, but I said, Lord, I've never heard your voice. I've never heard your voice. Then I sensed on the inside of me that he loved me. And I thought, wow, wow. Is that because he never wanted to talk to me for all those years? No, it was because my spirit was receptive. I was opening my ear to him. I was developing spiritually. See, God wants to talk to us. And it's not a matter of him not letting you hear him speak. It's a matter of us being developed enough to hear him when he speaks. Because God is a spirit, and he's going to speak to you on his level, and he will speak to you, his spirit, to our spirit. So Ephesians 1:16, a wonderful prayer from Paul. I'm going to read it negative just as a joke for tonight, because it's a lot of times it's how we think. I cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of stupidity, and not seeing anything and not knowing anything about him. Is that what the word says? Well, sometimes that's how we treat God and the things of God. Oh, you just never know. Oh, you know, the Lord works in such mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. I don't think Moses would think that. When Moses had his back to the Red Sea and needed help and he called unto the Lord answered him right away, told him what to do. Moses heard it, held his rod out over the water, and the Lord split the sea. Moses could hear God. Moses could understand God. It says that God talked to Moses like a man talks to a friend. So I want you to see, we read this verse, but we think, no, we can never hear from God. We can never really know God. We can never have spiritual wisdom. But that's exactly what the prayer is, that our eyes would be opened. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding, staying closely shut and never seeing one thing. No, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. It sounds like God wants us to know him, know things, have prayers answered, have wisdom that's beyond us, beyond human wisdom or human intellect. God wants us to know him and to see him and have knowledge and have wisdom. Then over in 1 John, these are some of our golden texts. Pastor Henselite also says, always says, this is our golden text. And I thought that was a golden text. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I want to read that from the Amplified. It says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. What do you mean, born of God? Well, when Moses was crying out to the Lord there at the Red Sea, he asked God for help what to do, and God answered him. That was not a born of Moses idea. That was a born of God idea. And when Moses was able to hear God's ideas that are leading him to victory, not just for himself, but for 3 million people, that kind of a born of God thought, born of God instruction, born of God victory plan, that's the victory process that we can all have for our lives. The same way God showed Moses how to win for himself and 3 million people, God will show you how to win. There's a pattern of this in the Old Testament where men prayed, women prayed, God answered, told him what to do, they did what God told them, and they won the victory based on the born of God instructions. So in the Amplified, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory, I like to add the victory process. This is the victory process that conquers the world, even our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in what God just told us to do to win. From the WIS translation, that's the Smart People translation. I would like to think that this is my personal translation. Because everything that has been born of God is constantly coming off victorious over the world. And this is the victory that has come off victorious over the world. Our faith in the born of God victory instructions. Now, I told you a story last week about how we've been believing God for this building for 20 years, based on Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Everybody that's a Rhema student knows those verses, but if you don't, I'll say just a gist of what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So based on a solid scripture, we believed God to receive this building into our hands. And we did that for 20 years. I believe I receive my building. We believe we receive our building. We believe we receive the building. And finally, after about 18 years of that, actually 20 years of that, the Holy Spirit said to me, I didn't hear an audible voice, I heard on the inside, his spirit spoke to my spirit. And I guess I was awake enough that day and developed enough that day that when God spoke to me on the inside, I heard it. He said, Patty, if you believe that building is yours, you're going to have to take the steps to purchase it. Now that for me was a faith completing instruction. I'm standing on a general promise in God's word for provision, for a building. But the Holy Spirit helps us along the way in our faith. I had a certain amount of faith, but as I said last week, I just couldn't get over the price tag. But the Lord said, if you believe this building is yours, you'll take the steps to buy it. So faith comes by hearing God say something to you. Also, faith comes by hearing the written word. In this case, faith came. I said, okay, I heard that. I acknowledge that's God. And the same way I stepped out on Mark 11, 24, I stepped out on, if you believe this building is yours, you're going to take the steps to buy it. And so long story short, we got a contract, and then we were approved for half the amount for a loan. And then just a few weeks before the transaction occurred, we had a miraculous, I would say it was a parting of a Red Sea experience for me. We had a miraculous offering come in for $1.5 million, and then some more came in after that, $1.5 million U.S., and we were able to take the loan and pay it off within a day. Now that's a born of God instruction that caused us to more than conquer, more than win. Have you ever heard of that in your entire life? In 4 days' time, that amount of money came in. Thank you, Lord. In all these things, Romans 8 and 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So keep referring back to Moses just for the sake of time. Did they more than conquer the Egyptian army that day? I mean, there is no way that no one died on their side. That's a miracle. No one even drew a sword or threw a rock. But the entire Egyptian army was wiped out. They all died. It was completely destroyed. And not one person fought. Not one person lifted a sword. That's more than conquering. As the Greek says, hyper Nike. Got the Nike shoes? Hyper Nike, beyond conquering, beyond prevailing, beyond overcoming, beyond overpowering, beyond victorious. What's the process, Pastor? You're developed enough to hear God's voice when you pray and ask for help. You're developed enough to hear him answer you with a born of God victory plan. That if you believe it and step out on it, as Pastor Nelson says, we're doers of the word, not hearers only. You hear his word. I heard that. What? Hold your rod out over the water. I heard that. So faith came. He did that, and the sea split. I heard if you believe this building is yours, you would take the steps to do that. Now, just a little bit more of the story. As I was talking to the pastor who took up the offering at his church, and thousands of people gave all over the world, he said to me, eating dinner that same night at the first offering, he said, Patty, if you hadn't have had a contract and a pre-approved loan, this offering would not be happening. Well, that's exactly what the Lord told me to do. Take all the steps necessary to purchase the building. And then he more than provided. It's the most miraculous thing that has ever happened to our ministry in the financial arena. We more than paid off that loan. And we've got more in the bank to take care of the rest that we're piling up. We're almost there. Praise God. So we're seeing a pattern of people winning supernaturally. So suddenly, when Zechariah 4:6 says, not by power, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We hear these scriptures that are very famous, but I still don't really know what does that mean? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Well, we see this process happening over and over and over again in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. What do you mean by my spirit, says the Lord? By his spirit telling you what to do, by the sower sowing the word, by you not being hard ground, rocky ground, or weedy ground, but good ground, that when you hear the word, you say, that was God. Faith comes, blade, ear, full corn in the ear. And then as soon as the full corn in the ear, you put the sickle in and you harvest what God said into the natural realm. It manifests physically. Now that's what we call a spiritual transaction into the physical realm. And every good Christian needs to know how to conduct and be successful in a spiritual transaction where God says, buy the building. 20 years later, it's the full corn in the ear, and you can put the sickle in. But man, you know, really, that could have taken me 2 days. I'm impressed to say this about the Lord Jesus tonight. Because we're talking about more than conquering. But really, every time we come together in this room, it's to train to be like Christ. And the Lord told me to say it to you this way. So many times, Jesus is taught as the exception. I was just one of a kind, and there's never going to be another human being like him. Jesus Christ is not the exception. He is the rule. He is how all of us can operate. He is the standard. He's the one who showed us the way a human being is supposed to operate on earth, the truth about who we really are. And he demonstrated the life that he's offering to us. This week and over the last 4 weeks here at Rhema in the second year classroom, the Lord has been talking to me about some of the constants that were established in Jesus' life. And these were the backstage reasons why he got the results that he did on earth. And I said this to the second year students. I believe it bears repeating here. When we look at the life of Jesus, the miracles, the answered prayers, the walking on the water, the stopping the storm, the multiplying food, the everyone is healed, everyone is raised from the dead, everyone is cleansed, every eye is open. How is he getting these results as a human being anointed with the Spirit of God? Because really, we're talking about this because we want to get you to the place where you can actually hear God's voice, the seed is planted, you can hear it, you can believe it, you can step out on it, and you can have it on the earth. Not just for your own life, but we see Jesus, really, he did so much for other people that was a spiritual transaction. God wanted to do something on earth, and it wasn't for me, it was for someone else. But he could use me to go to the man at the pool of Bethesda. He could use me to heal the man born blind. He could use me to stop the funeral and raise the 18-year-old boy from the dead. He could use me to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. See, we don't just want to learn faith to spend it on ourselves. And we don't just want a relationship with God for us to just be blessed and be blessed, be blessed. We want to be a river of his goodness here on earth. So, there were three things in Jesus' life that were constants. And I'll say this. If we want Bible results, we have to do things the Bible way. Number one, Jesus had unbroken fellowship with God, with the Holy Spirit. When God spoke, Jesus heard him. Every single time, he never missed a text. He never missed a message. He never missed an assignment. He never, ever did not acknowledge God when God said something to him. You understand? That's how this man functioned. And why are we here in this room tonight? That's the standard that we're trying to get to. Even if we're still having trouble, did God just tell me not to do that? Yeah, that was a spiritual transaction. Even if you're still struggling with him telling you, don't do that. The goal is to get you to the place where you're hearing full sentences, you're hearing victory instructions for your own life, but you're also hearing victory instructions for other people's lives. He looked out on the fields and he was moved with compassion because the people were like sheep without shepherds. And he healed the sick, and he raised the dead, and he opened blind eyes. I want this place to be a training center that doesn't just train people to get stuff for themselves. We are able to work for God. And in the streets of Samoa, in the nations of the Pacific, we're able to minister and work with him and hear him say, I want you to go over and talk to that person. Tell him that I love him. Lead him to the Lord. Lay hands on him, and I'm going to heal him. Yeah, I heard that loud and clear. To be able to work with God down here. That's the focus of all these lessons. Why are we talking about more than conquering? Why are we talking about not by power, not by might, not by man's ability, but by my spirit, says the Lord? Because God wants to use you. And where you are right now spiritually, and I'll say this specifically, where you are right now developed in terms of when God speaks, the level that you hear him at, that's the level that he can use you at. And God wants to use you for more and for more. So not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By my spirit showing you how to win. You being able to hear that because you're spiritually developed enough to hear that. You being able to believe that and step out on it. I see a pattern all throughout the Bible of men and women that were developed enough to hear his voice. We spent all last year on the way, the truth, the life. The year before that was the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. What if you don't know God? What if you can't hear his voice? Well, we can do the reverse of that scripture too. If you don't know God, you won't be strong and you won't do great things. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Arithmetic knowledge? Astrophysics knowledge? What kind of knowledge? Knowledge of God. Can't hear him when he talks to you. So one of the greatest things that we can learn is the written word. This is the general plan that God has for all of our lives. It's alive, it's quick, it's powerful. But in addition to that, we can learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what God means, not by power, not by you trying to figure it out, not by you working for 30 years and saving all your money and finally buying the building. No, by my spirit. If you believe that building is yours, go ahead and buy it. Thank you, Lord. I want to see more victories like this in our personal lives, but I also want you to be able to hear God's voice at this level so he can use you for ministry. So Jesus' unbroken fellowship with God, when the sower sowed the word, Jesus heard it. And I will add this. The seed of God's word went into that man's heart, and he was able to grow it blade, ear, full corn in seconds. Put the sickle in seconds. Just walking by that man that was born blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither he or his parents sinned. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I just added that. But I must work the works of God who sent me while it is yet day, for the night comes where no man can work. So we understand the Lord is telling him, I want to heal this man. I want you to go over to this man. I want you to, and why would he spit and make mud? Because that's what he's hearing on the inside. Unbroken communication with God at that level is how these things are manifesting in the streets. And if we want Bible results at this level, we're going to have to develop to this level spiritually. And that's why we talk a lot about developing spiritually, hearing the Holy Spirit based on the written word of God. The Spirit and the Word will always agree. The other thing that was constant in Jesus' life is that he never sinned. He was not sinning ever. And again, I'll put this standard up here. If we want Bible results, we're going to have to do things the Bible way. So he's unbroken fellowship with God. He's not sinning. And we understand from Luke 6 that power and virtue is flowing out of him all the time. These are constant factors in Jesus' life, and they're the backstage, the background reasons why he's so successful in ministry. Why are these people being healed? Well, he has unbroken fellowship with God. He's maintaining his right standing with God. He's not sinning, and he's spending time with God. He's learned to drink from the well within. He's able to drink from God's spirit within his spirit. Now, everything we're talking about tonight is a spiritual transaction. He's able to drink from God's spirit within his spirit. And it's creating a river of living water that's flowing out of his spirit, and it's available on the streets of earth. Touch the hem of his garment. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. Why? Because power and virtue was constantly flowing out of him. Is he more than conquering sickness and disease? And is it by human strength and human efforts? No, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray right now that you open the eyes of our understanding. I thank you for a spirit of revelation, wisdom in the knowledge of you, that we might have ears that really hear and eyes that really see. So I see this pattern of people winning supernaturally, more than conquering their problems on earth. And their corresponding stories to illustrate the way these men and women won. God told them how to win. They heard it. They believed it. They did it. And it manifested. Being able to hear God's voice in your heart clearly is a key to victory. It is the key to victory. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the written word, but also specifically the spoken word of God. So we showed you Moses. God said, hold your rod out over the water. We showed you David. David heard, go up at once, overtake, recover all. We showed you Peter, who had this vision, and it was just as real. And then someone's at the gate, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him in two complete sentences. Three men seek you. There's three men at the gate. Go down, go with them, nothing doubting, period. That's one sentence. For I have sent them. Just as real as the knock on the door. Same time he's hearing physically, he's hearing God speak to him on the inside. There's three guys at the door. Go down right now. I sent them. Go with them. Just as clear. Just as clear. What's just as clear? Hearing God's spirit speak to your spirit on the inside is just as clear as you hearing a physical voice on the outside. So let's jump into where we were. Does God answer prayers? Because a lot of times, really in my life, I thought, if I just pray and then just blindly do something, that's faith. No, you praying and not getting any specific answer is not light. You're still walking in darkness. Why? Because you don't have a specific answer. But a lot of times people will pray, they won't take the time to get a specific answer in their hearts, the victory center, the victory channel, and then they'll go out and just try things and call it blind faith. Well, faith is not blind. Moses didn't put the rod out over the sea because he thought it up and didn't hear anything but crickets. He heard God say, do that. So what? He saw it in his heart first. He heard it in his heart first, and then he moved. That's not blind faith. Faith has substance. His faith had substance, and that was the word of God. Here's some scriptures that I believe will really nail down to us that God will answer you when you pray. God will answer you. Psalms 50 and 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. I'm going to go through these really fast. Psalms 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Sounds like these people have a relationship. Jeremiah 29:12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen to you, the Message Bible says. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer. Why in the world do most Christians on the planet today believe that praying is praying, not hearing any kind of an answer, but then just go try stuff? And they call that faith. No, that's darkness. If God didn't show you anything, if you didn't get any light, then what should I do? Don't do anything. Keep standing on the written word of God if you haven't gotten a specific instruction. If you know, sometimes people will march around stuff like Joshua marched around the wall of Jericho. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever had a Jericho march? Because you didn't know what else to do? Did God tell you to have a Jericho march? No. I'm just trying to wake you guys up. What are you doing? I'm marching around, you know, my problem. Wouldn't that be awesome if every single problem I had, if you just march around it? You know, I would go down to the Toyota right now and march around one of those big Hilux. If marching around stuff causes it to come in and it to be conquered, if spitting and making mud causes every disease to be healed, if we went down to Maria's, we'd just be spit and mud. What do you have? I have cancer. Here's spit and mud. What do you have? I have emphysema. Spit and mud. What do you have? I have diabetes. Spit and mud. Do you understand the specific direction that God gave to Joshua? As far as I know, he never told anyone else to ever do that. Do you understand? Specific direction for someone in the Old Testament is not specific direction for you. So why is the story there? Well, the story is there to show you that the same way God answered Joshua for that battle is the same way that God will answer you thousands of years later for your specific battles. Well, he might not tell you to march around the city or march around the truck or march around the house or march around the person. You guys seem a little tired tonight, so the Holy Ghost is trying to help you. Did God tell you to march around the problem and shout? Then why are you doing it? If he doesn't tell you to do something, you don't have light. You don't have something to act on. You don't have something to step out on. So what do you do? Keep standing on the word. Keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep spending time with God. Keep listening for his voice. What you do here, obey. Call upon me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. I challenge you to try and find these scriptures in your Bible as fast as I can read them. Ready, set, go. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? No. God is a God that when you ask him for something, he will respond. The sower sows the word. And even Jesus said this, the first parable that he spoke about in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4. We all know the parable, sower sows the word. There's the hard ground, there's the rocky ground, there's the weedy ground, and then there's the good ground. And the disciples said, what does that mean? Jesus made an important statement. He said, you don't know this parable? If you don't know this, then you won't understand anything about how the kingdom of God operates. God wants to talk to you. Whatever he says to you is a seed. It's a harvestable miracle. And if you're good ground, the same way dirt grows a natural seed, your spirit will grow the words that God says to you. What do you mean grow? We'll believe them. Some people, it might take 2 seconds, like Jesus. Without hesitation, God would say something to him. He would hear it. He would believe it. He would do it. He would walk over, spit, make mud, wipe it on the guy's eyes, say, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And in just flawlessly in seconds, he's conducting spiritual transactions. He's hearing God on the inside. He's believing it. He's doing it. He's bringing in, he's putting in the sickle and bringing something God said in his spirit to manifestation physically on the earth. Rhema Bible Training Center is a place that you can come and learn to hear the Spirit of God. So I see this pattern of people getting victory instructions by God's Spirit telling them what to do, but they're developed enough to hear him. Let's talk a little bit about being spiritual. Do you, everybody know you have a spirit? Have you ever seen your spirit? 1 Corinthians 15 and 44. Just some verses that particularly highlight that we have a spirit, that we are a spirit. It says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Then here's this sentence. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You have a natural body, but you also have a spiritual body. 1 Peter 3:4, let it be the hidden man of the heart. There's an outer man, there's a hidden man of the heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Inward parts, the core of who you are. The spirit of a man. There's a spiritual body. You have a spiritual body and you have a physical body. You have an outside man, you have an inside man. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is eternal, and it's getting better and stronger every day. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. I want to just, is it okay if I take some of the things that I believed as a kid and I explain to you how I eventually got up to what the word says? I used to believe this, that the only time you could hear something spiritually or see something spiritually is if God allowed you to hear it or to see it. Do you understand what I mean by that? The only time that I can hear his voice is if he allows me to hear his voice. The only time I could see something spiritually would be is if he especially just allowed me to see something. And then he closes my eyes and I can't see anymore. I'm going to say something to you at the risk of sounding a little bit woo, but you know I'm not woo. I don't like weirdos, and I don't like being weird. Last Friday, at the end of the service, the presence of the Lord came into the room. And if you were here and you have any spiritual sense, you could sense his presence in the room. Could anybody sense his presence in the room? Let me see your hand if you could sense it. Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Well, what I didn't tell you is as I was standing up here, I saw what looked like a cloud in the room. Now, I'm not going to say there's a cloud in the room because it doesn't really matter to me. Now, this is going to explain my point. Am I seeing the cloud in the room because God is letting me see it? Or am I spiritually developed enough to begin to see things in the spirit that are already there, but I'm just not developed enough to see it? See, your spiritual body is a lot like your physical body. It has eyes that see and ears that hear. And unfortunately, all of our spiritual bodies were born dead. We had a physical body that was alive, but our spiritual body was born not functioning, not seeing, and not hearing. But you understand, when you were born again, your spirit came back online and it's functioning now. The same way a physical body that's dead can't hear me if I say, "Hi, how are you doing?" The same way a physical body, if it's dead, the eyes can't see anything. The same way a spiritual body, if it's dead, it can't see spirit, it can't hear spirit. But when your spirit came back up online and you were born again, your ears were open and your eyes were opened. Very low level, though. Let me read to you specifically what the Lord said, because I don't want to miss this. Functioning spiritually, seeing or hearing things from God's spirit in your spirit, is not a matter of God allowing you to hear him or see things once in a great while, or not allowing you to see or hear things. When your physical hearing is on, is it on? Let's just talk about the physical realm. If you can see, can you see? Does that sense get shut down? God doesn't want you to operate physically right now, so he's not going to let you see that physically. No. Okay, just stay with me, because he's trying to teach us spiritual things. If your ears are open, if you can hear physically, you can hear all the time, right? That sense is always, if a sound comes, you will pick it up. Do you understand what I mean by that? We know that if a sound comes, our ears will hear it. That's why people whisper. Because they don't want you to hear what they're saying, because your ears are always working physically. They will always pick up sound. Right? So I had this sense that my spirit could only see things, my born-again spirit could only see things if God let me see things. But I've realized it's not a matter of him closing my eyes, and he doesn't want you to see things spiritually. He doesn't want you to know things spiritually. He doesn't want you to hear his voice. He'll only let you hear things sometimes, but then, boom, you can't hear anything. No, that's not what's happening. Once your spiritual ears come back up online, once you're born again, you can hear. And once your spiritual eyes open, you can see. Now, it's just a matter of the level that you develop in hearing and develop in seeing things spiritually. Let me read this to you again. Functioning spiritually is not a matter of God allowing you to hear Him or see Him or see things once in a while, or allowing you to hear and see things at other times. It's a matter of developing in something you already now have the ability to do now that you are born again. Do you all have a radio receiver in your car? No? Oh, I forgot. We're in Samoa. Does everyone know what a radio is? Can you imagine the radio that used to be in your car? Because I think that all cars come with a radio, huh? Have you ever been driving in your car and your radio is on, but you didn't know it? The volume is turned down so low that you can't hear it, even though it's broadcasting. It's receiving the radio waves, it's playing the music, but the volume is turned to the lowest setting, so even though the music is playing, you're not able to hear it. Until what? Oh, the radio was on this whole time. Let me turn the volume up. And that's basically what the Lord is trying to show you. Your radio is on. It's just a matter of turning the volume up. Your ears are on spiritually. You're not dead spiritually anymore. Once you come alive spiritually, your ears and your spiritual eyes, they can see, you can function. So I said this, I saw what appeared to be a mist or a cloud in the room. And I'm not going to advertise things like that because I don't, well, some people just can't handle that. And I understand that, but I saw it. And for one of the first, I understood why I saw it, because I spend so much time in the Spirit. I'm beginning to see both at the same time. And they're both just as clear. And that's exactly how Jesus saw when he walked on the earth. Can your spirit see and hear all the time now that it's born again? Now, this is the myth that we're talking about. The myth is, a myth is a story that everyone believes even though it's not true. A myth, not a miss, a myth. Here's the myth. God will only let you hear his voice when he wants you to. And this is something we have no control over and that we have nothing to do with. That's like saying God will only let us hear physically when he wants us to, or see physically when he wants us to. Do you get that comparison? No, my eyes work all the time and my physical ears work all the time. It's not a matter of God just, okay, I'm going to let him hear this now and I'm going to let him see this now. No? Spirit sees spirit. And spirit hears spirit. And spirit touches spirit. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared with the men in the upper room? They were hiding. And they thought he was a spirit. Jesus said in Luke 24:39, behold my hands and my feet. It's me. Handle me. See me. Touch me. Look at me. And then he made this statement, which is going to start to make everything that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks make sense. For spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see me have. There's a physical body, but there's also a spirit. And it's another dimension, and just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And your spiritual ears are on, your spiritual eyes are on. Brother Moore said, your spirit is expressed through your physical body. Your spirit is expressed through your physical body at this time. But when I leave this body, I'm just going to put these things in your ears. When you lay this body down, you go up to heaven. All your physical seeing, your physical hearing, taste, touch, all that's going to stay here, right? So does that mean when we get to heaven, we're not going to see anything or hear anything or know anything or be able to talk or communicate? Because we left our physical ears down here, we left our physical eyes down here, we left our fingers down here, our noses down there in the casket. What? I'll get up, come up to heaven. What? I left my ears down there. I can't hear you. Who are you? No, when you go to heaven, you're going to be able to hear things and see things without your physical body, with your spiritual body, as Paul put it. This man had a revelation of how things work. So I don't believe that anymore. Believe what anymore? I don't believe that God only lets us hear certain things or see certain things. I believe it's a matter of my personal development that is the determining factor in what I begin to see and what I begin to hear. So I ask the Lord, help me teach, help me show, help me develop. Because there's angels in the room right now, right? Everyone knows that. So how come we can't see them? Because God doesn't want us to see them. No. Let's think about Adam in the garden. If a big fat elephant walked by Adam, would Adam see the big fat elephant? He'd say, there goes a big fat elephant. Would he be seeing them with his physical eyes? Yes, because physical sees physical, and physical hears physical, and physical touches physical. What about if a big fat angel flew by? Remember Adam before he sinned? Before the devil? What if a big fat angel flew by Adam in the garden? This is not a trick question. I just want you to think about this. Could he see him? Really? So, originally in the garden, do you believe that if a big fat elephant walked by physically, Adam could see the big fat elephant with his eyes and hear it crunch through the ground with his ears, and you believe he could see it physically? And if a spirit flew by, a big fat angel flew by, you believe that the big fat angel was just as clear and just as real to Adam as the big fat elephant? I think I might name this sermon the big fat elephant and the big fat angel. We're almost done. Actually, I have 25 pages of notes, and we're only on page 4. We are not staying late. Do you believe that Adam could see just as clear spiritual things and hear just as clear spiritual sounds and see physical and see, I'm sorry, hear physical? Do you believe that he could see both dimensions at once is the question. Okay, so why aren't we seeing that now? Because there's angels in the room right now. And don't worry, we're not getting weird. The whole goal is for you to get to the place that when God talks to you, you can hear his word. I believe the Lord is just trying to poke at you, maybe say some things just a little bit differently that you've never considered. There's angels in the room right now. Why don't we see them? Now, most people think it's because God doesn't want me to see them, right? No, the reason that we're not seeing them is because we're not spiritually developed enough to see them yet. Can you eat this? And really, I don't care if I ever see one or not. I don't need to see them. I'm poking you. It's called waking up. Waking up. The reason we're not seeing them, is it because God doesn't want us to see angels? He doesn't want us to hear his voice? He doesn't want us to function spiritually? He turns that off and on only? No, it's because we're not developed enough to see and hear at that level. And why aren't we seeing angels right now? Well, because you can't see angels with physical eyes. If we could, we would be seeing them right now, right? If we could see spirits, angels with our physical eyes, would you all agree? We'd be seeing them. So why aren't we seeing them? Our eyes are on spiritually, right? Yeah, but the volume is turned down so low. The volume is turned down so low. Now, I'm just poking you with that. Remember, spirit sees spirit. And spirit hears spirit. And spirit touches spirit. Physical sees physical. Physical hears physical. Physical touches physical. Remember when the prophet prayed for the servant? The prophet was seeing the armies of God in the hills, in the mountainside. And the prophet was in total faith. Why? Because he sees there's more with us than against us. He's operating at a level that is so much higher than the servant. The servant is saying, we're going to die. Oh, alas, master, what should we do? And the prophet prayed and said, Lord, let him see what I'm seeing. Now, don't be mistaken here. If the servant, I'll say it again, if we could see the armies of God with physical eyes, he would be seeing them. The prophet prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see at the level I'm seeing, in the dimension that I'm seeing. But if you read that, you think, oh, he opened his physical eyes so he could see the angels. You can't see angels with your physical eyes. So which eyes did he open? Pop quiz. I've never ministered like this ever in my life. Which eyes did he open? Spirit sees spirit. So he opened his spiritual eyes, and then he was able to see the spirits, the angels of God, the chariots, in the mountains. So you can see physical, clearly, but the Lord wants you to know, the same as clear as Moses heard, hold your rod out over the water. That was a spiritual transaction. That was God's spirit to Moses' spirit. So the servant's physical eyes were working, but he's not seeing the angels. So which eyes were opened? His spiritual eyes. And he saw the angels. The eyes of the man that can see spirit. I see physical things with my physical eyes. I see spiritual things with my spiritual eyes. I hear physical sounds with my physical ears. I hear spiritual sounds with my spiritual ears. Thank you, Lord. And where we got to last Friday and where we'll end tonight, the basic way the Holy Spirit will talk to you. Pastor, he never talks to me. I never hear anything. No, you're hearing, but you might not be acknowledging. We'll close tonight with Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your spirit, all your heart, all your inner man. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. That's the place where he enlightens you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How does it go? Lean not on your own understanding, not by power, not by might, not by your brain, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding or your physical body. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Thank you, Lord. The first, and the way 1 Peter puts it, 1 Peter 22, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of God's word that you may grow thereby. The first way God's going to talk to you is the same way we talk to a baby. He's going to say no. His spirit is going to bear witness with your spirit. Your spirit that has the nature of God in it right now, you'll hear, don't do that. You'll hear it loud and clear. It's called having a conscience. Don't do that. Le'ai, awa, sasa. That's the first baby step. That's the entry level. That is the ground level where the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to your spirit. And I believe we all agreed that we are all hearing that loud and clear. But are you acknowledging it? Because it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The first thing the Holy Spirit will do is direct you to stop sinning, stop sinning, stop sinning, stop sinning, stop doing that, stop sinning, stop sinning, stop sinning, stop sinning. That's how Jesus did it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Most people, Christians, talking about born-again Christians, they won't even acknowledge the no. God never talks to me, Pastor. He does, and he wants to more. But if you won't acknowledge a basic leading to not do something, he can't add on top of that. If you don't get the basic baby talk, if you hear a no, respond. That was him. And have enough sense. I remember as a young person, even now, if you just heard a no, have enough sense that the way you just heard the no is the way you're going to hear a yes. If he can get a no to you, then he can get a yes to you. If he can get a no to you, then he can get a hold your rod out over the water to you. And if you acknowledge it, if he can get a no to you and you acknowledge it, he can get a yes to you. He can get a do this to you. He can get a go over to that woman and tell her that I love her. This is the entry level. But if we can't obey a basic communication from God, the basic no, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of God's word, keep telling me no, Lord. At least I'm hearing your voice. Keep telling me no, Lord. At least I'm seeing and hearing something in my spirit. Do not shut that down. Do not turn that off. That's where you want to turn the volume up. I remember telling you this story. I was telling the Lord that my biggest problem with Christianity, Lord, is not real. It's just a book, but I want the book to come alive. I want to hear your voice. I want to have a personal relationship with you, but I never hear you say anything. But then I went into my heart and I listened. And I sensed. I didn't hear English. I sensed he loved me. And I had enough sense somehow to say, okay, the same way that just happened is the same way he's going to answer me when I'm in trouble. The same way and in the same place, the same way he says no, the same way he says yes, the basic communications, the same way he says no is the same way he's going to save your life someday. The same way he's saying no and you sense it and you know it's him. Do not override this. Do not be the hard ground. I didn't hear that. What? No, you're hearing it. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. You're spiritually developed enough that when God says something to you, you hear it. You understand it. You believe it. You do it. And the Holy Spirit causes it to manifest on earth. Not by power, not by might, but by the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. Are you interested in developing probably one of the most interesting messages I've ever preached. Could Adam see God when God came into the garden? Because he's a spirit. I mean, you can put your physical hand right through him, right? So is he seeing him with his physical eyes? No, physical eyes can't see spirit. But spirit eyes can see spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let's close with one more verse, and we'll pick up here again. You know, if we have to go 2 miles an hour for the rest of the year, we'll go 2 miles an hour. We'll close with the same verse that we closed with last week. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. I like the Amplified. It says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Did you hear that? Now, next week, we're going to talk about triumphing and some myth in that. Most people believe Jesus does everything and you don't have to do anything. But here it says, he leads us in triumph. He shows us how to get the victory. So your assignment again for this week is master the no's. To him that hears, more will be given to hear. But to him that doesn't hear, what he does have will be taken away. Don't become a hard path. Stay good ground. Master the nose. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand with me? Thank you, Father. It's 9 o'clock, right on the button. The Lord is right on time. I have it in my heart that he is here by his Spirit. But I'd like to give you some practice for yourself. If you're sick tonight and you'd like to receive healing, healing is here. The healer is here. I'd like to do it this way tonight. If you're not feeling well, if there's something wrong in your physical body, just lay hands on yourself and say, Lord, I thank you for your healing power. And I release it right now. I know your Spirit's on the inside of me. The healing power's on the inside of me. I release it right now into my physical body, and I receive strength. Thank you, Lord. Lost in your glory, I seek your face. I don't have much to say, but I love you. Lost in your glory, down on my knees, I don't have much to say, but Lord, use me. Don't wanna wait till heaven to see your face, to know your grace. I don't wanna wait till heaven to feel your power, to taste your glory. I don't wanna wait till heaven to find my answer. I can just take it now. Sing with me, okay? I take it now. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus as Lord, we're going to pray a prayer right now. And I ask you to pray that with me. Say, Father God, I come to you tonight. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I accept that he died on the cross, paid the price for my sins. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. And welcome me into your family. I will serve you forever. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That prayer never gets old. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. I believe the Lord is very specifically trying to open our eyes. If this is the victory process that overcomes the world, what us being able to hear him show us how to win, don't you think the devil would work overtime to keep us from hearing his voice, to keep us blind and deaf in this area? Because the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How does he do it? He steals the word.
Even the parable says, as soon as the word of God is sown, immediately the thief comes to steal. Father, we thank you that you're opening the eyes of our understanding, that you're showing us how the things of the Spirit can be just as real. And Lord, we want to use these things so we can work for you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the praise and worship team is going to sing. Thank you so much for coming. I believe we'll have a little bit of fellowship downstairs. We'll see you tomorrow for the car wash, Sunday, 10 a.m. for church. And if we can't see you this weekend, we'll see you next Friday. God bless you all.